love it. Love it.
The music doesn't want to make the music call. Ooh, we got mad at Gil.
A musical interlude. Welcome all to another episode of K-Fred Prime Live. I'm Fred. Welcome to our guest. We're graced today. The first person in our audience I'm going to call on is, where I may be the station owner, I'm going to introduce the guy I've known for a couple of decades. I quit watching football in his house. I've known him that long. The Bears Super Bowl loss, last football game I willingly watched, was in his house. He's the guy who owns the land under K. Fred. Mr. Norris, come on down.
Morning.
My first question is we had a discussion, I don't know, middle of last year, and I said to you, I found the software stack I want to really launch a 7x24 internet radio station, give people a voice, use the content we got, create something that people can't filter, for a better word. And you said, well, yeah, I can put that together for you. And so my question is, what type of brain aneurysm did you have that day when that made you said, yeah, I can do that?
That's a good question, Fred. Just looked at the idea and thought it could be done and figured we'd go attack it. I didn't realize it would be the hurdle that it became, but I mean, got on top of it and started running with it, and here we are.
A tech geek and for sure.
Many late nights, lack of sleep. There's probably a few holes in some walls, some frustration to trying to make it work the way we wanted to, because things weren't right and the documents didn't help much. So, all the day in the life of an IT guy.
So you said the words. I was going to say tech geek, whatever, because there's multiple systems, folks, in this architecture, because it was designed by a tech geek human. But all that said, tell us about your company. What is it, a tech geek company?
TCG Solutions, we kind of do the IT needs for small businesses, mom and pop shops or small medical practices, people who don't have money to put a full IT guy on staff. We take care of that. We do remote management, hosting services. We do phone services, kind of a jack of all trades, not really a master of any specific one, but I know who to call when I get in beyond what I can handle. So it's mainly just me. There are some different subcontractors I use for different situations and specialties, but that's TCG Solutions.
So then I'm going to go, you see, folks, he's not a chatty dude, which makes this next question really, really interesting. So tell us about your show on KFRED that's coming up? Will it be a tech geek show putting people to sleep, or will it have engaging content?
We're probably going to do the engaging content. I'm going to be looking at and working with the whole scenario surrounding men who get divorced by, that 80% of women that are running around divorcing their men and surprising them, and they don't have their children anymore, they don't have their home anymore, or any of that, and kind of be a support and an encouragement to them, challenge them to keep going, even though it looks pretty bleak. I have a friend, Micah Zach, who I'll be bringing on the show. He's gone through it as well. So, so we're looking to do that and see how it goes.
Part of me says, anytime you can bring Monty Python into anything, it's a good thing. So my next question is, since we've had some great reveals from in past weeks of when shows are going to go, give us a time frame.
I would imagine it's going to be within the month, probably 2-3 weeks. We'll get something on the air.
Excellent. So what's your next biggest hope for our broadcasting platform?
I'd like to see the situation where we have 100 simultaneous listeners. That's a bit of a mark for me, is what I'd like to see happen. And then go on from there. But that 100 mark would be nice. And then you and I talked about a goal of 10,000. So, I mean, that's where we'd like to see this. I think the interchanging and the expression of ideas is critical for mankind to go further and to continue in our evolution.
Now,
so I'm excited.
Jeff's been going through a lot of evolution lately because he's got 4 kids and a 17-year-old daughter about to turn 18.
Yeah, they're great.
I knew him when he didn't have gray in the beard.
Yeah, well, I was writing a post for somebody somewhere, and I was like, it'd be nice to sit down with somebody that I don't have to tell take a shower.
Yeah.
My 13-year-old seems to think that unless he's told, it's not required.
Gee. Wow.
All right. So we're gonna bring our next new show host on, Mr. Chris Pratt. I can't ask Jeff down the rabbit hole questions because, like, he's already down there and living down the rabbit hole, so it's just not working. So, Mr. Pratt, word is you have a new show coming. Tell us about it.
Sure. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. So my show is called The Healing Conspiracy Podcast, and super excited about it. It was actually kind of birthed from my own personal experience. About almost 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic basaloid carcinoma, which is a fancy way of saying that your skin cancer metastasized internally and became a tumor in your neck. And so with that, it's very rare. It's only 3% of skin cancer cases do that. So, I knew I was rare, and so I had to embrace it. And the conventional treatment, it just wasn't giving me really any hope. I was told basically that I would have about 18 months on a pill. And then after that, they'd have to start all over because they didn't know what was going to happen after 18 months. So I decided that was not jiving with me. So I started doing a lot of educating myself and learning that there's a lot of ways to heal. And that wasn't the only alternative. So started doing a lot of different things, and I have seen tremendous, tremendous effects. I mean, obviously they were telling me 18 months and then we'll see what happens. And I'm going on almost 3 years now. So I'm not 100% in the clear. I'm walking this journey out, but I think that positions me in a way to really support a lot of people. And so my hope is that, we can launch this podcast and really kind of speak to all the different things that people encounter in the world of healing. I hope to, I'm actually also a functional nutritionist. So, of course I want to bring in that area because I think nutrition is vital to so many parts of everybody's life. And unfortunately we are a country full of people that never lack food but are all malnourished. And so it's really a matter of understanding how food works in our bodies and what, you know, what that means to us for health, but also diving into things like alternative therapies and biohacking and epigenetics and, you know, all those really kind of nerdy things. But I hope to present it in a way that's not nerdy, that's fascinating and kind of fills wonderment about how your body operates and kind of gives you the power to say, you know what, like, I can do this. Like, maybe I'm, you know, have asthma, but I don't have to have asthma. Or, you know what, they told me I have type 2 diabetes, but maybe I don't have to have type 2 diabetes. And so my goal is for people to just kind of awaken to this idea of when we give our bodies the right environment, God created them so that they can heal themselves. And it's a powerful, powerful revelation. And so I hope to do that. I hope to bring testimonials of people who have walked that path of natural healing. And I even want to explore some of the crazy rabbit hole stuff, if you will, of, you know, the ideas of like faith healing and people who have had miraculous spontaneous healings and just kind of dive into those kind of stories. So that's a little about the show.
Okay. I caught something there that won't happen because you attempted to steer a rabbit hole question that way. And no, it's going to have zombies in it. I can guarantee you.
So, of course.
I one of the things I react to is the whole diet and nutrition and staying alive. It was one of those things that I walked into my cardiologist 98 days after the heart attack, and he asked me how I got my numbers down so low, so quick.
Yeah.
And it was the desire never to spend a Saturday night with him again on the table near dead.
Yeah.
But one of the things, so I went out and followed the diet and exercise because I didn't want to do that. And I've gotten rid of meds as I've gone. But I will tell you that for me, I never expected to make 5 years. I didn't.
Yeah.
And it was a bolt out of the blue when my partner told me no. So, you know, I would because I'm stubborn. So on that topic of stubbornness,
mm-hmm.
before you were surviving, what did you used to do?
Well, I was a stubborn person, that's for sure. But no, before that, I was in the field of public education. I've been a teacher.
Run away.
No, believe me, I know. So I've been a teacher for almost 20 years. Well, for 20 years, actually. And I was actually a band director. For 15 of those years. And then I went into administration and then finished out my career as a first grade teacher. And that did me in and I was done. 6 and 7 year olds are just, that's all I can handle. I have one at home, but they're not like, so we didn't jive well, but it was a challenge. But yeah, I've been in public education. You know, I have my master's degree in educational administration and, you know, have kind of walked that out. And I'm not old enough to retire, but I decided to leave early because I have another path, another focus that I want to do and bring to humanity this idea of hope and healing. So
all right. So besides diet and nutrition and all those other things you're going to do on KK, word on the street is that there's something else, some other form of communication, we'll put, that you're going to be bringing to K Fred, much like Mr. Markell's of Animals Unplugged already is.
Yeah. So that is a good word on the street. So I actually have decided to step out and share some of my music with the world. And of course, I'm a musician. I've got a long history of experience in church music and worship music. And so I'm hoping to step out and provide some, you know, musical entertainment or, you know, meditation music for people.
All right, everybody at least listening online. Oh, as a reminder, everyone, you can dial in at 323-580-5755 or chat live at the KFRED website. I'm remiss for not mentioning that. All right, so what would you, before we go down the rabbit hole, what's one piece of advice you would give to parents of a 6-year-old almost 7-year-old. 323-580-5755. Sorry, or chat at KFred. So what advice would you give to parents of a, or even grandparents of a 5, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 4-year-old?
That's a hard question because I need to vomit a lot of information. It's hard to raise a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, but this is honestly, and this does kind of go down the nutrition path, but it, this is my golden nugget. Processed food and refined sugar is rat poison, and you should treat it as such because it is going to create lasting effects that are going to cause all kinds of problems throughout their childhood and into adulthood if they develop a habit of consuming that as a primary form of their nutrition. I know that maybe sounds a bit cliche, but I've worked really hard to eradicate that from my children's life. It's not 100%. We work really hard to do it, but I will tell you that whenever they do consume it, there are noticeable changes within hours, and it's not my kids. It's chemicals, and we have to start realizing that. If we really care about our kids, the way to reward them, the way to encourage them and motivate them is not to give them candy. It's not to give them ice cream. There are more valuable things in life, and they've got to understand that.
Awesome. I know my daughter, who has a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old, follows those things, so she would approve. All right, so time for the rabbit hole question.
Okay.
In the future, because of, I don't know, maybe some governmental bio lab leaks out, there's a zombie apocalypse. How will you teach young zombies music?
This is complicated. This is very complicated. Here's what I will say. And I thought you were going to go the AI route with me. So I'm a little thrown off, but I'll take the zombie curve. Here's the thing to remember about music. Music carries the spirit of its maker, right? And so in order for someone to truly produce music that communicates with people, it has to be from the heart. And that's why even electronic music, right, it can communicate with people because it has a creator. And so I think that it's about educating the creator. It's about educating the zombie or the child or the person and helping them to understand how music works to express themselves. So I guess in this scenario, I would really have to spend some time with building relationships with zombies, I guess.
One comment on this, folks. The station does not advocate, does not equate children and zombies in the same sentence. Just want to let you know that. Thanks, Chris. More from him soon. So we have one of our brand new show hosts here who hasn't even been through training, just made the decision this week. Liz, are you there, Liz?
Hi, I'm here. Sorry, I'm having internet problems or just kind of slow. So is that okay that I'm not showing my face?
You don't got to show your face. No one at the website or 323-580-5755. Is can see your face, and thank God they can't see mine. Otherwise,
no,
I'm getting
stop. You have a great face and a great radio voice. I will say that.
Thankfully, I'm not recording the video because I'd get hate mail from my teacher, but that's okay. I didn't buy it. My partner did. So, Liz,
yes.
Your new show. Tell
yes.
us about it.
Oh, I'm so excited. Truth be told, everyone, I have never done this before, and I'm so excited to jump into the deep end. And I have a wonderful co-host, and we are basically going to be talking about teenagers and life after high school. So it is so important that these teenagers are prepared for life in the real world. And I will be talking about helping teenagers find alternatives to a traditional four-year school. So whether that is a gap year, trade school, internships, joining the workforce, entrepreneurship, even college deferment, if they're not ready to go to college right after high school, then they, I will be talking all about these fun alternatives and how to prepare them to be successful young adults. And my co-host is talking about how to, if teens are going to go to college, how to save them so much money on the application process. And it is honestly, for any parents out there, the stuff that we're going to be talking about is super, super valuable. And, you know, I'm sure we all remember when we were teenagers, we did not have some of this stuff. And yes, we figured it out because we're smart and resourceful, but this is important to help, you know, help them give these kids a leg up in life.
Excellent. So what we're talking about here is helping kids become productive adults in one sense, if I'm going to broaden
yes.
the topic.
Yes. But give them the tools to help them figure out what type of careers that they will thrive in and what kind of colleges are best for them.
So I can remember, my dad's advice. I don't know, maybe that's why we're doing K Fred now, because his advice was, I want you to do what you want to do. You don't got to be an engineer. And I did something else stupid and then went into computers and dear God, I'm still here 40 years later. Okay, so we're going to reel this back in.
Okay.
So what are the top, I guess when I'm thinking about people going and becoming productive, what are the top underserved careers out there that are the most profitable?
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, so I think maybe we can all agree, trades are huge right now. We just do not have enough out there. We do not have enough plumbers, welders, electricians, etc. It is so important that we start to, you know, help these kids develop skills that you know, for these trades. Because honestly, not everyone is meant to go to college. It's just not everyone's path. We can't fit a square peg in a round hole. And trades are really big right now. I'm constantly meeting people that are dying for people that want to get into the trades. And I just don't think there's enough education around that. And that includes cosmetology. You know, I'm working with someone that is going to head into a trade, and he's trying to figure out if it's going to be more of a, you know, electrician, or maybe he wants to be a plumber. I'm also talking to another student who is really good with his hands and loves cars. These people are making six figures. I mean, I have a Prius and I needed a new battery, and my husband found a great mobile company that came to us. And I was talking to this kid and he was about 22 and he was phenomenal. And I also have a recruiting background. I've been in the corporate world as a recruiting HR professional for 20 plus years. And I was, you know, quote, interviewing him. And he basically said he did not even go to a trade school, but he knew from a young age, he was really good with his hands. He was great at fixing things and he loved cars. And he's like, I'm making six figures, and he's 22 years old.
That's awesome. So remind everyone, you can dial in at 323-580-5755. And thank you for those who keep reminding me of that. And we'll take questions. So there's two questions that I'm kind of wondering about. One is, and I'll probably forget the second one by the time you finish this one, but one is are computer programming skills considered trades, or is that still knowledge workers? At least that's what it was.
I think, that's a great question, Fred. I think it could be both. You know, I have, as I mentioned, you know, I have been in the corporate world as a recruiter internally for companies like Spotify, SiriusXM, Disney, Glassdoor, eHarmony, GoodRx, et cetera. And I've done a lot of tech hiring. And some of these early, you know, developer jobs, honestly, these people are starting doing, you know, programming in high school, even before then. And so it's sort of like it can be a trade. There's a lot of trade. There's a lot of boot camps out there where people will get degrees, sort of, or not degrees, but like certifications mm-hmm. in programming. And companies, you know, when I was at GoodRx, I hired for marketing, engineering, and product. And we interviewed a lot of these youngins who did sort of like a boot camp and got it certified in, you know, like back-end engineering, front-end engineering, et cetera, like HTML, CSS, et cetera.
Well, you're making...
I see you laughing. Is that a good thing?
Well, you're making Jeff really happy. He's got a real warm and fuzzy feeling going through him right now because you hit words he likes. It's okay. It's okay. All right.
Good.
So you kind of hit the Spotify. What other radio folks or organizations have you hit in your non-radio star past?
Well, okay. I wanted to be, so a kind of like a fun fact, I wanted to be a sportscaster. And as I think I mentioned to you, Fred, I actually went to Cuesta in San Luis Obispo and lived in the Cal Poly dorms, and I interned at KSBY News. And then I, for my recruiting career, I actually worked at Sirius XM, and my role was to hire for all the channels. So that was some of the music channels. It was mostly sports, fantasy sports, NASCAR, et cetera. And then I also hired for Stitcher, which is their podcasting. And so I recruited for roles like executive producer, program director, you know, board operators, et cetera.
All right. So I'm just going to kind of reiterate this for at least one of our attendees. So what I just heard is somebody who's worked at local competition, our long-term competition, as well as a bunch of our other competition in the podcasting space in the recruiting field is now on KFred. I'm just...
Yes!
we got another smile out of somebody else. So now here's the...
But I like hearing people. I like seeing people smile.
Here's the last question before we go down the rabbit hole.
You got it.
When will we start hearing the show on KFred?
Oh, that's a great question, Fred. And my co-host and I can't wait to meet you for the training on Wednesday to talk about it, either the 23rd or I think it was the 30th of July. Now I
that's fine. We'll, by the end of July, we'll be hearing what show name? What's the show name?
Oh, sorry. I don't remember it off the top of my head. I do have it. So if y'all can bear with me while I get to my... Well, I get to my email where I have it because, you know, when you get to be my age, you know, you kind of forget things.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
So it is going to be PH. Beyond the Books, Teen Success Secrets.
Excellent. Beyond the Books, Teen Success Secrets, starting by the end of July. And you got at least one parent on here who's going to have his kids start listening as well as he was. All right.
Yes.
So now, down the rabbit hole.
Uh-huh.
Yours gets to deal with one we haven't gotten to deal with in a long, long time, and it's one of my favorites, alien invasion.
Oh,
yeah. In the coming alien invasion, how will you instruct alien parents, of teen kids, either how you instruct them to get their kids to young adulthood?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, a couple things. So I have a 3-month program, and I see, oh my God, that I have not seen that type of excitement in a couple days. That's amazing. So I have a 3-month program that I take teens from basically helping them figure out what's next. And through my coaching and my mentorship and my life work and, assessments, I help them find a path where they will be successful. So by the end of my program, they will know what they're going to be doing after high school if a four-year school is not their path. And I know my co-host also has a program to help those who are going to college, help save them so much money in the application process.
Hear that, all of our Alien Invader listeners? They're ready for you.
Yes. And okay. Just one little quick thing. I actually am about to work with a client who is going to college but has no idea what he wants to study and what he wants to do. So I'm also helping with that, because as a recruiter who has interviewed thousands and thousands of people and hired thousands of people from early careers up to a CTO, I have seen almost every college on a resume. And obviously also when I've worked at startups like Lime, which is a scooter company, I hired non-college people. I know kind of classes and how to help them figure out what careers they should be going after. And of course, Fred, I think you probably agree with me, but the one thing I'm going to be hitting home, and I know my co-host is also going to hit home, is internships, internships, internships. Must do internships. And you could do that out of high school, as starting when you're 16, and you can obviously in college, but you have to do internships. Because honestly, companies like Spotify, when I was at Spotify, I had a 1,000 resumes for every job, and I'm not kidding. And I will tell you, my hiring teams, I recruited for The Ringer and Content Business. They cared more about the it factor. Life work, they wanted to be candidates that had jobs and internships and did a gap year, not just a college degree. And most of my hiring team members didn't really care if someone went to college, as long as they had some, you know, experience for our early career jobs. So internships, all you people, internships.
I agree with you.
I'm off my internship soapbox.
That's fine, ma'am. Looking forward to the show. Now let us bring down not a new show host, but an existing show host, Ms. Barbara Wainwright. And as past listeners know, she's Spider-Man's grandma, but I'm not going to make her talk about that today. I will tell you, because she keeps showing up on the show, she's in serious, serious danger of becoming the...
Oh my gosh.
Come on down. Right. So tell us what's up in Wainwright Global this week.
Great question. Well, you know, I am working on a collaborative book with some of the coaches that I've trained over the years. So I'll just share a little background. I've been training and certifying coaches since 2006. We're now at 2024. And I just love what I do so much, because inspiring people to live their best life just is so rewarding in so many ways. Anyway, I've trained over 6,000 coaches, and I have 18 of them have contributed a chapter to my new book. So I have been working with my creative artist from the Philippines and creating the book cover and working on editing the book and putting it together into one file so it could be submitted for publishing. And life is good.
All right. So we got a new book coming out.
Yes.
I did have this thought as you were saying this, tying it back to a comment with Jeff. Do you realize you've been certifying coaches longer than I haven't watched football from Jeff's house?
Wow. Yeah. No, I did not.
That's pretty amazing. That's almost as long as I've been in this life. But in the third life. All right. So we got that coming up. What are we going to be hearing on K Fred soon?
Well, that's a great question, because that's like, and now for something completely different. I have a podcast called The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. And we did get permission from the publisher of that book to do our podcast and do what we call a book study on The Power of Now, written by Eckhart Tolle. And so we're very honored to have that privilege. And the name of the show A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. That was approved by the publisher as well. We weren't allowed to call it anything else except for what that big long name. But you know, the great thing about that is that there are so many people that are awakening to their own spirituality these days. It's a wonderful thing. It's such a blessing to know that there are more and more people awakening. And what I love, Fred, is that you are providing a platform for people to express their truth, and whatever that truth is. I mean, you know, we talked about, well, we heard from Chris Pratt earlier, and my goodness, you know, there are so many platforms that would shut him down if he were to say the things that he said just today even. So it's a blessing that we are getting a place where we can come and share our truth. And one of the things that I think is so important is just that, being able to, first of all, find out what is your truth. I mean, go inside and meditate or whatever it is you need to do to get connected to all that is within you so that you can turn around and express that and gift it back to the world. So that's really important. But what if that is something like Chris was bringing to the table where it's frowned upon? Oh my gosh, we need to have a platform. So I'm grateful to you, Fred, for taking the time. And Jeff, oh my gosh, Jeff Norris, without you, this wouldn't happen either. So the two of you have created something that's really magical and so needed in the world today. And I'm very grateful for both of you to have created this.
Since she called you out, dude, you can unmute and say something intelligent or witty. I'm either way.
I'd have to look it up. No.
Not bad.
I'm excited. You know, it'll be interesting I'm looking forward to our first cease and desist letter.
Oh my God. That'll be fun. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We should celebrate that because that means we're really having an impact.
Absolutely. If you get one of those, you know you're making a difference, right?
Let's just not do it in the music world though, because you know, leave those music rights alone. But you know, if you guys get me a cease and desist letter, I will take pleasure in that. So.
All right. Because you said that, I won't play Warren Zevon's Lawyers, Guns, and Money song, although I was actually reaching to do that as you were saying that.
Well, I want to get the cease and desist letter for a good reason, not just the, you know, an amateur hour. I played music on the internet and you know, YouTube got mad. But.
Fair enough. All right. So reminder, folks, you can call in and ask questions. At 323-580-5755. That's if you're listening at 1:38 p.m. Central Standard Time on July 13th. If you're just listening along now, have fun, but make sure you dial in for the next show. So, as you were also talking, Barbara, I know you help other programs on certification coaching programs, and I'm not going to let you out that easy.
I'm waiting for it. It's coming. I know it's coming. Go ahead. Hit me.
How? I really, since it's a life coach, I want to know how you're going to develop the first life coach certification program for zombies.
For zombies. Oh, my gosh. Well, there will be a requirement. You have to actually be a zombie in order to coach a zombie. And if you are actually a zombie, then we're going to have so much fun because I'm going to do all the talking and you're probably not, because as far as I know, zombies can't talk. So I'm not sure how they're going to coach. Maybe they will dismember themselves and put themselves back together, and that will be part of their coaching process. I'm not really sure.
I love it. And you've just gone up one more notch of that potential female co-host. All right, so now we're going to go to a man that I call many things, and sometimes Leif Erikson, because he came over with the Vikings. Mr. Larson, come on down. And I used the phrase Mr., not the other one. So I get points here. So, Mr. Fanatic, tell us why you're a fanatic. You've been on before, but tell everyone listening why you're a fanatic.
Thank you. Thank you. I am Howard Larson, and truly I am a trade show fanatic. How bad am I? Well, I do about 30 trade shows a year right now. In any way, shape, or form, as an attendee, as an exhibitor, a reverse seller, a speaker, a scout, a buyer, a product source representative. I've been a food judge. I've been a booth judge. If there's anything to do with a trade show, I've probably been there, done that. And now through the power of K. Fred, I can expound what I've learned to make anybody's, and I truly mean anybody's, trade show experience worthwhile and the best ever. I don't care if you're the exhibitor or the attendee, you have to go in with a plan. No plan, no results. Luck does not work. The sole reason of the show is to have that happen once a week and then sometime in the middle of the night for Europe to find me.
Ooh, so you power pack a whole lot of stuff there. My first question is, are you addicted to the trade show food or the trade show free swag?
More to the swag. I've got a lineup of bags about right behind me. I probably have 15 bags from trade shows, sorting out different swag that I've collected so that if I get a client in that particular show, I already know what his competition is giving out. As far as the food, I go to food shows. In fact, this next week, somehow I was able to squirm my little way into IFT First, which is a food technology show, and there will be plenty to eat. And not the McCormick Place pizza.
Ooh. Ouch. Oh my, that was easy. Button didn't work. That was my favorite piece of swag. Yeah, and I don't remember where I got it. I've been doing quite a few of them for tech and amazingly enough for franchising. I used to go to the Comdex tech show until it got so stupidly expensive and the food got expensive that I quit going. But what's your favorite convention location besides something close?
I like close. 90% of my shows are McCormick Place, Stevenson Convention Center, Schaumburg Exposition. And now that they, even though they're going to wreck it next week, Bard Center up in Milwaukee, they doubled the size so they can actually have some decent shows up there. I like Minneapolis.
Minneapolis,
Minneapolis.
I'm assuming not in December.
Well, it's okay because they have bridges that go everywhere. So you never, once you're in the parking lot, you never have to go outside.
I'm sorry. That was a stupid brain fart on my, I forgot who I was talking to, the Viking who came over with Leif Erikson. Love Minnesota.
If you happen to go into, this is a side note. You go up to buy a fishing pole, they will ask you summer fishing or winter fishing.
I would rather they ask me, and I've been on summer fishing up in northern Minnesota. It was beautiful, and I'd still rather take sticks of dynamite with me to go fishing, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
So you want to remind our listeners when we're going to hear the first show and what days?
The first show will be the first Wednesday in August, whatever date that is. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
That's
right. And then with the power of Fred, we will flip-flop it at 3 a.m. on Thursday morning for my European friends.
So you're going to make sure we get heard in all of European countries.
Well, especially since I'm doing a trade show in Barcelona in November, I have to groom the area.
All right, I get that. I'm happy you're taking. Be sure to wear a K. Fred T-shirt while you're over there.
Yeah, well, I got to upgrade. I got to talk to you about getting polo shirts instead of T-shirts. But yeah,
I like the idea of polo shirts. We can work that out. All right. So for your down the rabbit hole question.
Uh-oh.
What happens when all trade shows go AI? Will you have to program an AI Howard to go, or will you go in person?
Considering
you've been through the demise of the printer.
I've lived through the demise of typesetting. I've been through the demise of DVD, CD replication. I've witnessed three industries disappear before my eyes. AI will, it's a wonderful tool, but the little robots can come by and sweep the floor, but they will, and maybe little robot hands can give me a cup of coffee. But when you ask a hard question, you need a person. A robot isn't going to tell you after you've written out a proposal, press hard, fourth copy's yours.
Fair enough, my friend. Fair enough. Now we get to go to the fun part of the show where we have actually a guest in the audience. Is Shanae going to come on down and talk to us?
Well, I'm here, so hi.
Excellent. Shanae Jackson, I'm going to let her tell more about, but she shows up weeklies at the weekly Caffeinated Connection, which Howard does. So we already know she's slightly crazed lunatic. Shanae, tell us about yourself.
Where do you want me to start?
Pick a point, because I'm going to pick apart a bunch of stuff. You said something last Tuesday that kind of blew me away about a recent family reunion, and I'm going to end up coming back and talking to you about that one. But to your point, what's that, you know, first thought you want everybody to think about you?
I am from the Northwest. I'm Black and I'm from the Northwest. I'm from Washington State originally, so you know, we all exist up there. Yeah, I have lived in six states and two countries over the last 16 years, and I am not in the military. And yeah, I like to go ahead and make change and do things, so. Yeah, so now I really focus on helping business owners and improving operations and getting all that fun stuff together. It's both me working on both my most toxic trait, but also my best trait. So, yeah, I love what I do.
So you said Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to Jeff, who has moved to Washington State, although he lived there before? So, wow, you and he have been hanging out together already in the same area. So what advice
What part of Washington, Jeff?
Have you heard of Preston? Issaquah?
Yep.
Where are you from?
I'm from outside of Yakima.
Yeah, drove through there not too long ago.
So on his side of the state versus mine. Okay. So
I got to say one thing. As you guys are spitting those names out, all I can hear is sounds I'm making when I would spit.
That's fine. As long as you – so big one is a lot of towns are named after – are names of, like, Native American words. So that's important. So if you ever see the word Spokane – S-P-O-K-N-E, it is not Spokane, it is Spokane. You might see something called Snoqualmie. It is Snoqualmie. It's spelled S-N-O-Q-U-A-L-M-I-E. There's other ones too, but those are the big ones that I hear a lot that are absolutely screwed up. Spokane is the big one. That's crazy.
So last week we had Lynn Schuessler Williams, who's from Louisville, and she's got that same thing about it's Louisville. Not, you know, and no Chicagoan can ever pronounce
it. Not Louisville, yeah.
No, they really hate that. It's good. That'll just they'll pull a knife on you. You go, Louisville. Yeah, no. I'm from the south side of Chicago, and that scares me from them. So you're not in Washington. You're where now?
I live right outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
So how's the business environment? Because you help businesses. How's the business environment between the two different?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I'm really good at that.
Yeah. Huh. So where I grew up.
There's a comma after that, but a few people know.
Yeah. I'm glad to know that I inspired you, Fred.
You do?
Yeah. Where I'm from in Eastern Washington, in Central Washington specifically, it is much more agricultural. There's a lot less knowledge workers. My friends who have all stayed back where they are, you know, tend to do more manual labor of some sort, not necessarily construction, but they might work in a factory or the mill. One of my best friends from home, he's been in the logging industry since he was like 15. So the majority, I would say the majority of my friends and like sort of what I think about from where I'm from, it's more of like, you know, what do they call them? Like salt of the earth kind of folk, right? Like very, like this is who we are. And then here in Georgia, I've been here for not quite 5 years, and it is very much they're very, very business friendly, and are really good at attracting a lot of different industries. So outside of a couple places in the north, I think Georgia's really good at attracting tech. They're really good at attracting film. The governor recommitted for another decade that those film credits or those film tax credits are not going away. So I don't know if there's a huge difference. It's just different.
Okay. That's fair enough. There's a couple of questions that you inspired me kind of on. One of them is you actually have your own podcast. So tell people about it, where they can hear it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I love my podcast. It's called Idea to Empire. And essentially the goal is when you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, you probably get overwhelmed, frustrated, annoyed, all the things. And so bring on guests. And I also do a single episode of Just Me, where the goal is you're going to walk away with at least 3 tips on how to get yourself out of that overwhelm, that frustration. So a lot of times we'll talk about mindset. One person talks about sales. Another person talks about content strategy, what that actually means instead of what we think it means. I'm releasing, it releases every Tuesday at 5 a.m. Eastern, and you can watch it on YouTube and all the other podcast channels.
Excellent. So one of the other questions that you inspired me as you were talking about is, so when do you expect to have to deal with Howard coming down to trade shows in your area?
I don't know. How are you telling me?
You're muted, dude. Strange that that can happen. I love this medium. Actually, mute Howard? Damn.
I was being nice and didn't want to interrupt anybody.
Yeah, I know, but, you know,
I do that.
She's open to you coming down there. I think she should run the other way, but that's okay.
Well, Atlanta has a very good convention hall. It's too bad they moved FabTech from Atlanta down to Orlando. But I have VIP status at the FabTech show, so I get to go in the secret room.
So what he's saying is plan your vacations accordingly to the trade show schedule.
And then you can write them off legally.
With it.
Yeah, that was my advice.
The Atlanta Exhibit Hall is very good. I do not have anything scheduled right now in Atlanta. Sorry. I'll have to look and see if anything's happening. I do have Orlando, Las Vegas, but I'll see what I can find.
You heard it. There's where the Fanatic is going to be. Flee for your lives.
I got relatives down there, so I can do that.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later. And I'll talk to you next week, and you can tell me all the things what's in the area.
No, you won't. I'll be at a trade show.
Save. All right. So before we go down the rabbit hole, there's one other question before I want to hit before the rabbit hole. I don't know if you ever said what your company's name is. And on your website.
The name of my company is Swantown Creative Systems.
Say that Swantown, sorry.
Yep.
So you had made a comment during Caffeinated Connections about going to a family reunion. And it kind of blew me away because, like, I think I got one living cousin, and I'm not quite sure he is at this point. So large families like that just I'm always interested in, and it kind of blows me away. So what's the best thing about that type of event, and what's the thing that makes you most grind your teeth?
Okay. So let me back up for everybody else so you know, we all know. So my grandmother is one of 13. My grandfather isn't from as big of a family. He's one of six. But just on my grandmother, my mom's, with her first cousins, there's like 60 of them, 65. There's a lot of them. Like so many, right? And my grandmother is from like the lower side of that one of 13. So she has some significantly older brothers, and they have like 10 or 12 kids apiece. And like, even after one of the oldest ones died, they found more of his kids, right? Like, it was crazy. So all that to say is like, you know, in Southern families, my grandparents are from the South, Southern families, they can be really big or really small. And my grandparents were born in the late 30s, almost 40. So there was one year, my grandfather doesn't really talk about his like heritage, like where does people come from? And there's, we know a little bit of it because there's other people, there's a couple of his other brothers that are really into it. And whereas my grandfather isn't really that into it. But really randomly, we all went to Mississippi and went to a family reunion. My last name is Jackson, so there's a lot of Jacksons in the world. So I went to a Jackson family reunion. It was really cool. It was pretty classic, like Black family reunion, picnic, a little bit of a program or a show.
I'm having a problem with the whole concept of family reunion, let alone Black family reunion. So enlighten me, like I said, family reunion, I'm just, that concept's like totally foreign to me.
I just go. I'm not planning it. I do what I'm supposed to do, right? So it was picnics and sort of like this like program, and then you go to church on Sunday. That's pretty much the more typical family reunion, Black family reunion sort of layout programming. So we went into this like rec center. There's easily like 150 people there, and we're having like dinner or whatever, and like lunch, dinner kind of deal. And part of the programming was one of my very far greats. His name is gone at this point, but he had like 12 or 13 kids. And so we can trace, at least my grandfather's side of the family, we can trace his family about 300 years, right? So I'm not just American, I'm super American. I've been around for a long time, right? And what was interesting is since he had all those kids, what they did is they gave us leaves, and we had to go and choose what child are we from. And so you had all of these leaves like on poster boards of like, oh, I'm from this line, I'm from that line. So really, like, you know, some of these people, I think like the majority of the people were from like four lines. Like, it kind of feels like 12 tribes of Israel, like kind of the way that it all works. But yeah, it was really cool to, like, you know, we're talking about hundreds of years. We're talking about probably thousands of people if you kind of think about their kids and kids, because it's many, many, many greats for me.
Totally awesome. I what you describe, Michelle, I went to her father's family reunion, and the format sounds a whole lot alike. But yeah, I think they may have had 50 or 60 there. So, whoa, I'm just kind of, and I was kind of weirded out by that one. All right. So
family reunions are, okay. So to actually answer, I need to answer your question. Family reunions are cool because you get to, like, kind of like understand, like, the awe of how big your family is or is not, right? And there's a lot of people that don't go. So, like, there's a small representation, and then you're like, wow, they all have kids, or they have other parts of the family that aren't here. So that's really interesting, right? The worst part of it is that I am actually an introvert. So, like, and so meeting people is a lot. So if you have 150, like, think about, like, one of the biggest networking events that you can go to, and it's essentially that, because you only know, like, a very small chunk of them, and then the rest of them are just, they're strangers. So it's very intimidating to, like, it's very intimidating to walk around and be like, so whose child are you, right? So I got to a point where, like, at my grandma's family reunion, They were like, oh, who do you belong to? And I was like, oh, I'm Warrett's daughter. And they're like, no. I said, I'm Betty Ann's granddaughter. And they were like, oh, okay, right. So you eventually have to start attaching yourself to the person. That's really intense because you have no idea who they are. And even if they tell you who they belong to, you're still like, keep going. Like, yeah, it's very intense.
I can, as an introvert going to networking events, I can only imagine. All right, so now we're going to take you down the rabbit hole. So the question is helping businesses. How will you help hybrid businesses that have zombies, aliens, AIs, and humans improve? This is, by the way, folks, if you're a long-term listener to all past shows, this is the first time I've been able to tie all four things into one question. Be honored, ma'am.
You said, of course you did, zombie, AI, aliens, and who else?
Humans.
And humans.
I'm assuming
they're
not all going to destroy humanity. I'm going to assume a more positive world where zombie, human, AI, and aliens work together for a better good, which may be stupid, but I'm going to provoke it.
Humans do a pretty good job not working towards the better good. But, okay, so I would have to, if I was helping them, I would do a couple of things. One, do they actually know what their business is? And two, do they know how to communicate with each other? That would be, like, my starting point. Like, do y'all all know why we're here? And if so, who can tell me that? Because usually it's an issue with teams and who's the chef and then who's the cook kind of deal. So I would get there. I would start there.
That's pretty gutsy because the alien could vaporize you, or the zombie could eat you. And kudos to you for being able to be the one out there to ask that first question.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hired a sassy mouth black girl for a reason. So let's just go ahead and do this, right? Realities are is that you didn't need to bring, like, I didn't need to come, right? You have lots of opportunity. There's lots of people like me out in the world. You chose me, so let's go ahead and do the hard things. And so, yeah. After that, then it's like, what are y'all then going into, what are you supposed to be doing, right? Like, are you doing that? How are you not doing that? Because you probably are not doing that. Do you believe yourself when you're speaking? Right, lots of questions along those lines, and then getting everybody. Then I, like, figure out my little puppeteering and, you know, start getting everybody in line.
Excellent. And the website again?
SwantownCreative.com.
All right, folks. So I've had my fun for the day, and I want to thank everybody for listening to KFRED Prime Live. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more strange, weird, and human stories. And honestly, when you listen to what everyone's talking about, we're all talking about the same thing, just in different terms. And that was always one of the goals of KFRED. KFRED was to get people's voices out so we can all communicate better and have a better future. I got grandkids, and I choose it to do it this way rather than use nuclear weapons. So help us grow KFRED without the use of nuclear weapons. We may have an atomic blonde very soon, but that's beside the point. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we're going to play my favorite music on the way out.
Feeling the energy, lighting up the night. We're going to dance.
Miss you, Mike.